Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Join Carol as she shares her knowledge on a topic of interest to everyone, money. On the show, Carol will discuss starting and running a microbusiness, teaching your kids about money, and managing money in a homeschool organization. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Hi, this is Carol Topp, the host of the Dollars and Cents Show. Welcome to episode number 45. Lately on the podcast here at Dollars and Cents Show, I have been sharing with you presentations and workshops I've been doing at various conventions, particularly homeschool conventions, and I've got another one for you, and it's on the topic of how to teach your kids about managing money. And this is a presentation I gave at a homeschool conference in Michigan recently at the INCH conference, the Information Network for Christian Homes, and it was a lot of fun, enjoyable to give it. I split it into two parts, each about half an hour long, to make it a little more manageable for you to listen to. But in this workshop about teaching your kids about managing money, I'm going to talk about why, of course, we need to teach our kids about the important things about managing money, but also mostly how you can do it in a very natural style. I have a handout of the workshop, which you might enjoy. You can find it over at dollarsandcentsshow.com. Look for episode number 45. Hey, if you've been enjoying the podcast, I sure would appreciate it if you would leave a positive review over on iTunes. How you can do that? It's pretty simple. You go over to dollarsandcentsshow.com. There's a little iTunes icon. It looks like a microphone or like a little letter I with purple. And you click on that and it will walk you through how to leave a positive review or a thumbs up or even just a comment on Facebook. If you follow me on Facebook, I like any kind of positive feedback. It helps me know that this has been important and helpful to you, and I appreciate that. Now, this will be first of two parts, so make sure you also find part two, which will be episode 46, and it'll air 2 weeks after this one. So if you're listening to this sometime in the future, hopefully you get both parts right away. You also might be interested in a four-part podcast I did about teaching kids about money. You can find that in the archives and the listing of the podcasts over at dollarsandcentsshow.com. And that's a little more specific about different resources and different things to teach kids about money. This will be a little shorter presentation, again, split into two parts. I hope you enjoy it. Okay, let's go ahead and get started. Be cognizant of your time. Welcome, everybody. My name is Carol Topp, and this workshop is called How to Teach Your Kids About Managing Money When You're Not Doing So Great Yourself. And there are handouts. Some of you received it when you came. I'm sorry I didn't make copies for everybody, but it is on the INCH website as well as my own website. You can find handouts at Carol Topp, CPA. I'm a CPA, which I guess qualifies me to talk about money. And also my other website, Micro Business for Teens, has the handouts for you because it's a lot of resources I'm going to share with you. I'm going to share with you what I have learned about raising my own kids and helping them to manage their money well. I have two daughters. I homeschooled for 14 years. I have two daughters. They are 24 and 21. And my 24-year-old is fully financially and physically emancipated. She is a graduate of Grove City College in Pennsylvania. Anybody know Grove City College? Wonderful, wonderful Christian private school. And then Ohio State University, and she's now working as a tax accountant in Columbus, Ohio. And my younger daughter graduates next weekend, a week from today, from Taylor University. Anybody familiar with Taylor? It's in Upland, Indiana. And she is she has a job offer. She has a job to come, and she's going to be living at home for a little while. So in the next year, we're going to figure out financially launching her. So how do you launch a kid who's living in your house, but she has a job? But she's living at home just to save some money. So I new phases of life, I think about these things. But, as I was raising my own kids, I was doing a lot of reading of Dave Ramsey. And I have been, one of the folks that helped facilitate his workshop at my church. And I have done Bible studies on biblical finances. Being a CPA, I've even done some budget counseling and financial counseling for clients and things like that. So what you're going to get is accumulation of a lot of things and a lot of my thoughts.
And I'm going to state some pretty obvious things and maybe some things you never heard of. Let's talk with why we obviously teach kids about money. And one is to avoid what I call boomerang kids. That's kids who return back home to you. Now, my daughter, Sarah, I just told you, is moving back in with us after graduation. But fortunately, she has a job. But a lot of times kids, especially during the recession, kids, I mean grown-up kids, are coming back to live with their parents because they're saddled with a lot of times student loan debt and sometimes no employment opportunities. Even Sarah's job offer is good, it's okay, but it's not great. It's definitely a starting salary, and we're just glad she's going to be doing something in what she's interested in, got a job offer. So what we're going to have is a lot of conversations with her about who pays for what, right? Because we really are trying to raise her to be an independent adult. And actually, in many ways, I don't want to have her get too comfortable in my home, right? Because I really do want her to be raised to be a financially independent adult. So it's going to be tricky, and I'm still going to come back in a year and see how I did. And I'll probably do a couple podcasts, I'm thinking, or definitely some blog posts about how do you financially emancipate a child. We want to teach them about managing money well to avoid excessive debt. I put excessive debt. Sometimes it's especially with college loans, sometimes it's unavoidable. But boy, what we can do to help those kids avoid this excessive burden will just free them in so many ways in the future. You know, there's so many, many, many bad examples out there of money management. Our society as a whole is not a good role model of how to manage money, right? Debt is too easy to get and too pervasive, and too many people run their lives on plastic. And our government is a horrible example of sound financial management, you know. I could go on and on about that, but I think you're pretty aware of how our government just is so short-sighted and doesn't think about the long-term impact because mostly they care about getting elected again. So, and maybe even you have not been the best financial role model for your own kids, which is kind of embarrassing to have to admit to your own kids that you've made mistakes. And there's appropriate times in the upbringing of your child when you might reveal more and more to them about mistakes and how they could benefit from the mistakes you've made. I don't say you don't burden your 5-year-old or even a 10-year-old with the information about the mistakes you have made, but definitely by the time they're teenagers and late teenagehood, only say things like, you know, when we were first married, we got into a lot of debt and it's taken a long time, or I didn't, you know, these kinds of problems, or even just financial situations that you've come up with, you might want to start sharing some of those things with your teenager in hopes that they listen to you and try to avoid some of those things in the future. So what I'm trying to say is you can take unfortunate circumstances or bad decisions in your life and turn them for good so your kids can learn. I like to use what I call a very natural style to teach kids about managing money. I am also going to give you a lot of resources, but especially for the younger grades, younger ages, it's really, really fun and neat to just teach kids about money as you go about your life, much like Deuteronomy 6 talks about, right? These commandments that I have given to you, talk about them, the commandments of the Lord, when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. A modern translation or interpretation of that be when you sit around the dinner table at home, when you drive in the van, that's walk along the road, right? When you lie down, a little devotional at bedtime, or when you get up, a devotional in the morning, or just conversations about money. Always, you know, your homeschool parents, so I probably don't have to tell you this, right? But every moment is a teachable moment. And this is how you're going to convey your biblical principles, your principles of managing money to your kids in a very natural style. So let me give you some examples. Stores, when you're out shopping, oh my gosh, that is the best time to talk about finances with your kids. And not just, no, you can't have that, you know. So I'm in a Kohl's department store. Y'all have Kohl's. Y'all listen to me. I'm from Cincinnati. I grew up in Wisconsin, but now I say y'all. Anyway, you guys, all have Kohl's department stores. So I was in a Kohl's department store with my daughter Emily, and she was about, I can't remember exactly, 4 or 5. And I remember looking at all the sweaters, must have been winter, right? And I said, realizing it's a teachable moment, Emily, why can I not buy all of these sweaters that I like? Why don't I just buy them all? And she thought about it, and she said, like many child, any child might, you don't have the money. No, I do have the money. I could wipe out all the money in the checking account, right? All the money in the savings account, and I could buy whatever I want. Within sweaters, okay. And why don't I do that, Emily? And she thought about it a little bit more. And this is a 4 or 5 year old. And she ended up saying, because then you wouldn't have money for Daddy and me. That's what I wanted her to learn. Get it, right? Resources are limited. If I buy this, I can't do that. That's the lesson you teach a child. And I was so pleased she got it, just by my asking a few questions in the middle of the Kohl's department store. One of my friends took his daughter to eat at McDonald's. That's also a good place for lots of conversations about eating out. Why do we not eat out more? Well, let's compare the prices. When mommy fixes food at home, it costs this much. When we go out, it costs that much. Why does it cost that much more? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? But he would take his daughter, young again, young. These are preschoolers or very early elementary, and to McDonald's, daddy-daughter date, right? Sitting across from her, he'd reach across and he'd take her French fry. And what do you think? She screamed, "No, Daddy, it's..." Right, and he says, "Who gave you those fries? Who bought those fries?" Daddy did, right? Who gave Daddy the ability to buy those fries? Who gave Daddy the money? Your job? Who gave Daddy the job? You see where the questioning is going? You're trying to tie their little minds back to everything we have is a gift from the Lord. Even the ability to work and earn money is a gift from the God. So you're trying to get their mindset of trying not to hang on to things too tightly, even French fries at McDonald's. It's very much a teaching of a mindset, especially at these young ages. And I've got some more practical examples of what you want to teach kids at different ages, because it changes. Okay. How to teach them. I just gave you examples of a very natural way as you walk stores, eating out. We also had some houses being built near us when we used to live in Indianapolis, and we'd take a walk through the neighborhood as houses were being built. And there was this one house. We followed it being built, had a 3-car garage, and somebody moved in as the house was finished, and there's a boat in the driveway. Boat in the driveway, new house, 3-car garage, right? What does my daughter conclude about those people? They must be rich. And I said, "No, honey, they're in debt." No, I don't really know. Maybe they weren't, okay? Probably they were in debt. I wanted her to not envy the rich, to realize that that boat and that new house and that 3-car garage come at a cost, and it was probably a burden of debt to them. So anyway, just as you walk around. You could also get someone else to teach them or help you teach them, right? Sunday school, there's lots of Sunday school lessons, and I've got a few resources for you. Scouts, Boy Scouts, I know, have money badges. Yeah, I wrote a badge for American Heritage Girls, the money management badge. They've since updated it and renewed it, which is fine because I wrote it a long time ago. But anyway, there are people that will help you help them learn about money, and also homeschool co-ops. I've taught personal finance at the high school level a couple of times at homeschool co-ops, but there's some wonderful materials, and I will discuss what I used more at the high school level. But there's a lot of fun stuff out there you could do with kids at co-ops. And also focus teaching, like you could have family nights. I've got some resources on that too. Family nights where you just do some games, or my friend Russ used one of the activities in a family nights from a book. It's on your resource list. Family Nights by Jim somebody. I forgot his last name. I apologize. Do you have it there? What is his last name for the recording? Jim Weedman. That's it. Thank you. Anyway, what Russ did, or what the activity was to cash his paycheck. So instead of direct depositing it, cash it. Now, I might recommend you use Monopoly money instead of real cash, okay? Use Monopoly money and say, "Here's our paycheck." And show the kids physically how much goes to taxes. Show them how much goes to pay the mortgage. Show them how much goes to the grocery bill and these very tangible things, so they get a visual and let them touch the money, let them count the money. Give this much to the government in taxes. Talk about taxes. Give this much to the mortgage. See how little is left, kids? So they get an understanding of where all the money's going very tangibly. Games and book work, other very focused teaching. The book work is more at the high school level when there's so much you have to teach them in order to raise them to be the financial responsible adults we want them to be.
Does your high school student struggle with choosing a career or college major? Are you fearing they might waste time and precious money switching majors in college? I'm Carol Topp, and my new book, Career Exploration for Homeschool High School Students, will help your teenager investigate their personality, their interests, their values, and then match them to possible careers. But career exploration doesn't stop there. The book walks students through researching careers and then mapping a plan to be prepared in high school for going on to college or whatever's next. My book Career Exploration works for individuals, but it's really great in a group or for use in a homeschool co-op. You can find Career Exploration on Amazon.com or on my websites, homeschoolcpa.com and microbusinessforteens.com. Help your student make one of the most important decisions in their lives, picking a career. Take a look at Career Exploration by Carol Topp today.
Okay, let's start. How many of you have preschoolers right now? Oh, lots of you. Let's talk another age. How about elementary school kids? Oh, lots of you. Okay, the homeschoolers. You got everybody, right? Sorry, the same hands went up. How about middle school? What we call middle school, that junior. Yeah, good. And how about high schoolers? Oh, we have good cross-section. All right, so you know, all of you with the older kids also had preschoolers, remember? When you teach preschoolers, probably the most important thing to work on is their egocentric view of the world, right? Everything is mine. If I see it, it's mine. If you have it, it's mine. If I want it, it's mine, right? Right? So you need to work on that, and that's why we emphasize sharing. Everything you have is a gift given to you. Don't be so selfish. You know, you have to kind of work that out of them over and over and over and over and over and over again. Because as one of my favorite authors, John Roseman, says, if you don't, they will do this. Test, 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 test. Is mommy still going to do the same thing she did last time when I acted like things were mine that weren't really mine? Yes, she will. So building stability through helping them understand everything is not theirs. And then John Roseman, one of my favorite authors, I read him a lot when I was raising my daughters. Benign deprivation is a phrase he uses. Benign, loving, not harming, deprivation. He says basically we meet all of their needs, right? Their needs, their need for love, food, safety, right? Sleep, even though they fight that. All of their needs and maybe only 25 or a quarter of their wants, because preschoolers, all kids, yeah, adults too, we can want so much, but a benevolent dictator, as he calls it, will give them all of their needs and only a few of their wants, because we're trying to not raise selfish people, right? Here's some, let's skip on to elementary age, what to teach kids about money when they're elementary school. So that's not very much at the preschool level, right? You're trying to deal more with an attitude and a mindset. But for elementary school kids, you can start talking about the divisions of money, and that is the give, save, and spend kind of model. And there are cute banks that are sold, or you can make your own, just, you know, go on Pinterest, and I'm sure somebody has some cute ideas of banks where you give the child, you know, some allowance maybe, or when they get a gift, you talk about, well, some we give back. And hopefully mommy and daddy can be a good example there, right? We give some, we save some, and we spend some. And when my kids were little, I would even give them an allowance in such a fashion that it was easy to divide up. So, you know, quarters or dollars, so they could easily put it into the different compartments or different envelopes or different cans or jars or whatever you want to do. Very visual, very tactile, all right? And when they get any money, so if they get a $20 bill from grandma, you break that. You know, you make change, you break that up. So you say, well, in this family, we give some, we save some, and we spend. And you get to decide those percentages. But for a child whose needs are taken care of by you, the benevolent dictators, the spending portion is quite small. Not small, but no more than half. So the giving and savings are quite large. Giving, you could go with the tithe, or you could go above that, but 10%. Savings are, you know, should be huge, because you're trying to teach them some other things like delayed gratification, which means they need to learn and feel what it feels like to save something for a long time to get it. They want something? Fine, you're going to save it because I want you to know what it feels like as a child. There is a friend of mine whose little daughter wanted one of those American Girl dolls. And what do they cost now? Anybody? How much? 100? They were 100 back then, like 10 years ago when this little girl wanted them. Inflation hasn't been that much, so it's about the same. So this whatever 8-9-year-old girl wanted an American Girl doll, and the knockoff was not good enough. Okay, so the parents said, we don't think that's where the money should go, but if you want it badly enough, save up for it. So that little girl saved and saved and saved and worked chores and saved and saved. And I think it took her 3 years of saving birthday money and gifts, and grandparents knew she was saving for this doll. So, and I think she was like 8 or 9. So that's an eternity. That's a third of their life, right? Do you think she appreciated that doll when she got it? Of course she did. So that's what you're trying to help your kids get, that feeling early. I know it. And do you think she had a strong sense of accomplishment? Of course she did. And she saw her progress. And she learned so many lessons if you think about it. Perseverance and patience and delayed gratification and self-denial and all that good stuff. Do you think my friend was tempted, as the mother, tempted to bail her out and just buy it? Of course she was. Why not? Why wouldn't she do that? There was a more important lesson at stake, much more important lesson of delayed gratification. John Roseman, I mentioned him twice already. He talks about giving your kids vitamins. Vitamin DG is one, delayed gratification. Vitamin N, which is the word no. I think we as homeschoolers are probably better at saying no than maybe others, but it's pretty prevalent in our society to give kids whatever they want. So I'm in the fitness center. Was anybody working out in the fitness center with me this morning so I can share this story? Okay. You weren't. And this lady next to me is complaining to the man next to her, and I don't think it's her husband because she starts complaining about another man who I think is her husband, okay? So anyway, she's complaining, and she's talking about how busy her life is and how her kids are involved in so many things. And it's running her ragged. And I don't give my opinion when I don't have a platform to give it, so she didn't ask. I give it to my kids, but they don't ask. And I just thought, she's not giving them enough vitamin N. No, you cannot be in all these activities. I know it seems like deprivation to you, but it's running our family life ragged. So that works for time as well as money, right? Okay, preteens. Now, this is when the rubber starts hitting the road, and they start having their own, well, they have preschool, they have their own little opinions about things. But anyway, preteens, this is when you might want to think about a savings account for them. Set up a savings account because you want to teach them power of compound interest. Unfortunately, it's not working very well in this economy. So I set up at home the Top Bank. My last name is Top, so we set up the Top Bank. I made cute little passbook savings accounts and everything. And we actually had, my husband grew up with a little bank that looked like a safe. It was kind of cute. And it was the Top Bank. And I was giving 5% interest. And whenever they made a deposit, I would show them how this is the interest you earned, you know, and show them the little passbook. Or if they got a little older, make them calculate. Here's your balance. How many months has it been at 5% annual? What interest have you earned, right? Good old math lesson there. So when my daughter got to be a little older, preteen, like she started babysitting and we wanted a real savings account for her, we go to the bank, we open up a, you know, kids savings account for her, and she looks at the interest rate. And it was fractional. It was less than 1%. And she said to me, can I go back to the Top Bank? No, you're cut off, kid. It would be nice if banks were a little bit better about showing us the power of compound interest. So mostly what you do want them to learn is the satisfaction that comes from seeing additions to the savings account, seeing the savings account grow. You want them to see that and feel how good that feels when there's a balance in a savings account and they see it growing, not because of compound interest anymore, but because of their additions, their deposits. Allowance. And you can have any kind of opinion you want about allowance. Some people don't like allowances. Dave Ramsey talks about they earn it for chores. You could do a mix of that. If you're, you know, if you have different opinions in your household, say, okay, we're going to give them a very small allowance and then they can earn more by chores. Anything. You can change your mind too. You have permission to do that. You can say up until a young age, we give you allowance, and then at an older age, we're going to change. Okay? So there's nothing set in stone about allowances. My point is, allowances don't always have to be in cash. I gave my daughters clothing allowances. So what I did at the beginning of the year, and they were teenagers, I said, I think I started with, okay, I'm an accountant, right? So I keep track of where I spend my household money, right? So I knew what I was spending on clothes for each kid, right? Okay, or had a good idea. So I think I started with $400, and in January I said, here's $400, that is your clothing budget for the year, daughter. I will buy coats and necessary shoes. Get that? I have daughters. Necessary shoes. Okay, you got to put that adjective in front of shoes. Okay, so she had $400 to spend. Now, when they were young, before they had their own debit card, so this is like under age 16, I would go shopping with them, and they would have to track how much of their I would pay, but the limit was $400 for the year. Does that make sense? So it was a clothing allowance, but when they were younger and didn't have their own access to their own money, I would pay and they'd have to keep track of how much money have you spent. As they got older, they had their own checking account, I would move money into their checking. And older was like about 16. I would move money to their checking account at the beginning of the year, say, here's your clothing budget. I ended up upping it. It's now about $500, even for my college-age daughter. I forgot in January to transfer her some money, but I owe her a little bit of money for her clothing account. And this is one decision I have to make. After she graduates, is that clothing account? I think it's shut off. And I'm trying to wonder if I should prorate it for half the year. So I don't know. I haven't decided that yet. I'll talk to my husband about that one. These are the decisions you make with grown-up kids. Anyway, I knew it was working when one year, it was near the end of the year, my daughter must have been 17-ish or something. We're standing in Old Navy, and she's got two sweaters in her hands, and she's trying to decide what to buy. And I said, well, they're both very cute, and you could use some sweaters. I know you could. Why don't you get both of them? And here's what she said, because this one is your money, meaning the clothing budget. The second one would be her own money, right? She had spent her full clothing budget. Now she's trying to decide if her own hard-earned money from her piano lessons she gave should go to this sweater. She stood there. I remember looking at her. She stood, and I didn't say anything. Do you know how hard it is to not say anything? I'm so proud of myself. I didn't say anything. I just let her feel the feeling of the decision she's about to make. Either way would have been okay with me, but I want her to feel the feeling, the thought process. She looks at them both, she puts one back. She had decided in her mind it was not worth parting with her own money. She's still like that. She's a CPA. This summer she'll get her CPA. She's sometimes a little too stingy. But anyway, you want them to feel these emotions is what I'm saying, and go through the thought processes. So give them an allowance of maybe clothing works well for girls, maybe other activities, sports, entertainment budget. Here's your entertainment budget for the month or the quarter or the year, something like that. See what they do with it, okay? You also start talking to these preteenagers about what things cost. So I love it when I do a personal finance class and I ask the kids about taxes. What do you think property taxes are? What people earn? But what do things cost? What does it cost to make this meal? Well, let's go to the grocery store and let's buy stuff to make a meal. What does it cost? What does it cost to come to this convention? Just things like that. You just start talking. That's as you drive along the road. What do you think that car costs? You know, that kind of stuff. All right? Just trying to give them an awareness of what things cost. I also tell the high schoolers, the average income in the United States is $50,000 a year. I think about that. Just have that in their mind as they start thinking about other numeric numbers. You're trying to build numerical literacy, if you will. Okay, teenagers. I love to teach teenagers. Actually, give me a co-op class full of teenagers, and don't put me in the nursery. Okay, I just like teaching teenagers. So high school, I already covered this a little bit, but teach them what things cost and what jobs earn. So I was a little shocked. You walk into the Apple store and you go back to the Genius Bar. How much do those kids make? People, they're adults, they're not kids. How much do those kids make? Do you know, per hour? So one of my friend's daughters graduated from college. It was the recession, didn't have a job. She was thrilled to get hired by the Apple store. She made $12 an hour. Multiply that times about 2,000 hours. That's what we work in a year. And she's barely making it. So anyway, talk to the kids about what people make. You might have to send them to the Bureau of Labor Statistics to look it up. Teach them about checking accounts. Open their own checking account. Debit cards. Open, you know, show them the statements. Is everything on here correct? Where are you spending your money? Show them simple record-keeping budgeting apps. There are a lot more that are cloud-based now. That I use one called... What's the one I called? Ace Money Lite. I don't know if I put that on your handout or not. It's just, I use Quicken for years and years and years, and Quicken kind of got actually more than I needed. It wasn't simple anymore. So Ace Money Lite is a free version. There's Ace Money, which is a paid version. But it's basically your electronic checking account, does the automatic download from transactions in your bank. Then you can then classify the transactions and see where your money's going. Teach them that. It's easier to do when they're younger and they only have a few things. It's one thing I've been a little delinquent with. My oldest daughter, I told you, is the CPA in 2B. She does it naturally. The younger one, when she's home for these next 6 months, it's one of the things I want her to start doing. Track your income. Track your expenses. Where's it going? Create a budget. They need to create a budget, even though they're not spending a lot of things like we are. Maybe show them your budget. Okay, a couple of resources. Crown Financial Ministries has a sample budget. I hope you can still find it as a PDF on their website. When I have taught simple budgeting classes, I've liked theirs. I think it's one page. That's why I like it. And they also, I believe they're the ones, Crown Financial, that would have recommended percentages. So like your, am I right? Okay, thank you. I haven't looked at it in a long time. they would say, in general, your housing should be 30% of your net after-tax income. Guidelines, okay? If you we live in the Midwest, that might be feasible. If you live on either coast, the 30% is probably not livable. But and Dave Ramsey, of course, has a budget, but I think his is like 4 pages long. I like things simpler than that, okay? Anybody else have any that they use? Yes, ma'am. Oh, I didn't know about that. I'm going to repeat it for the recording. Dave Ramsey has a free app called Every Dollar. Cool. So Every Dollar dot apps, just in the iPhone App Store. Okay. Cool. How complicated or simple is it? Do you know? I think it's pretty simple. Apps have a tendency to kind of simplify our lives, so they don't usually get too complex.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.